Well, as much fun as that gospel lesson is, I'm not going to talk about that today. I'm sorry. I feel like I'm shirking my duties just a little bit by avoiding it. But I'm not avoiding it. It's just there's other stuff we got to talk about. In our Bible studies the last couple of weeks, Ken Barrett has been talking a lot about time. And the theme of time that runs through these lessons. And I really wanted to talk about that today. So you hear it in all of our lessons, really, today. And we're going to focus a little bit on our second lesson from 1 Thessalonians, which is the second week in a row that we've heard from 1 Thessalonians. And so we will dig back to last week's just a little bit to talk about that, too. But anyway, that's what I want to talk about today. And I want to start by quoting my old Lutheran Volunteer Corps roommate and friend Laura, who said on Facebook, I think just yesterday, she said, "I had one of those days where I'm not even sure how I spent my day." That's what she said. And I looked at that and I said, you know, that is a whole 2020 mood right there. Because how many days can you look back and say, "Oh, I know how I spent my day." Like, I spent my day sitting at home. I spent my day doing whatever I could to fill the time. I spent my day just getting through the day, just surviving. I mean, that's how I feel like I've been spending so many of my days. You know, there's some work stuff and there's some family stuff and there's some cleaning the house stuff, but there's not some going and doing something stuff. I mean, think of all the days we've had this year where, you know, there was Election Day. Well, I stayed home. Like, oh, there was the 4th of July. Oh, I stayed home. Oh, there was Labor Day. Oh, I stayed home. You know, there's so many days, and there's Thanksgiving coming up, and you better stay home. And Christmas, and I wish we didn't have to stay home, but probably I'll be staying home because this virus is no joke. Knowing how we're spending this time is a real challenge, and it's a really odd and awkward just way to be going through life. I just feel like we're waiting and waiting for so many things. You know, in the season of Lent, when this pandemic started, it was Lent, and people said, this is the lentiest Lent that ever was a Lent, right? Because we're all just sort of repenting of whatever and staying home and not knowing what's going on. And now we've got Advent coming up in just a couple of weeks, and it's going to be the Adventiest Advent that ever Advented, because all we're going to be doing is waiting for this to be over, you know, right? We're going to be waiting for a vaccine to be available to us so that people don't get sick, so that maybe we can resume some normal part of life. We're going to be continuing to wait between the presidential election and the inauguration in January. It's an awkward time of waiting in our country right now for that. We're going to be waiting for these virus numbers to hopefully get better. And, you know, if we're at all lucky, we're going to be waiting at home trying to be as safe as possible, going out as little as we can. Now, it's a hard time, and so we're going to talk about time today. So our second lesson from 1 Thessalonians, Paul starts off writing, "Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you." So Paul says we don't need to talk about the times, but he then goes on to write about the times. So I'm going to follow his lead, and I'm going to go on and talk about something I don't need to talk about and mostly just tell things you already know. That's the plan for the sermon today. Get excited for that. For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Paul writes, the day of the Lord, the return of Jesus, the second coming of Christ. That's what he's talking about. In Paul's times, the people expected that Jesus would return in their own lifetimes. That's what they believed they had been promised. And so as people died, they were worried. They wondered, what happened? Does that mean that they don't get to experience the glory of Christ, the heaven that has been promised to us? What's going to happen? So in last week's reading, Paul did address that and said, oh no, the dead in Christ will rise first, and we'll talk about that more in a few minutes here. But waiting is so hard. We don't know how long we're waiting for this vaccine in this pandemic. We don't know how long we're waiting for this pandemic to end, or for us to, you know, be able to get back into sort of a more social and public and healthy life. And the time between the election, at least we have a date for this inauguration thing, but I'm not sure that day is really going to make all that much difference. There's just a lot of waiting, a lot of uncertainty, and a lot of boredom, frankly, as we go. Speaking of politics and the election, Paul goes on to write this. He says, when they say there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. Doing a little bit of studying this week, I read New Testament scholar Holly Heeren in the Working Preacher stuff, reminded me something I think I'd heard before, that when Paul writes about peace and security, when they say there is peace and security was a Roman slogan. They wrote it on the coins even, like E Pluribus Unum or In God We Trust or whatever. Peace and security was a Roman slogan. And so Paul is directly poking at this imperial notion that Rome offers peace and security. And he's saying that's not how it works. There's no peace and security in the empire. There's inaction at the point of a sword. I mean, there's like, the roads were good in Rome, I guess. You know, there was some stuff that was done well, but it wasn't true peace. It wasn't freedom. And it was the kind of security that was done to you, not done for you. That's what Paul was talking about. I think we can all learn from that today as well. The peace and security that we long for is not going to be given to us really by our government, no matter who the president is, no matter what the laws say or who's running this department or that department. Ultimately, our trust does not lie in those things. I mean, there's some goods to be done, and we need to participate in government, and I'm glad you all voted, and that's part of our citizenship and part of how we follow Jesus is how we live together in our society. But our ultimate hope does not come through politics. I think we all know that. Again, I'm just saying, like Paul wrote, I'm just telling you things you already know. Also in our lesson today, Paul talks a little bit about dark and light, you know, children of darkness, children of light, of the day and of the night. I think we've talked about this a little bit before, but that kind of biblical imagery, which is common throughout the scriptures, has become troublesome in recent years as people in this country particularly have started to think of that as, not really consciously, because it doesn't actually make sense, but as like people with dark skin are children of darkness and are bad, and people with light skin are children of light and are good. And that just fits, because we live in this racist society where white people and whiteness are elevated above others, that makes even this biblical imagery sort of twist to fit that racist theme. And so we're a little more careful about using that imagery than we used to be, because we need to clarify that it's not about that. This is not something that's meant to reinforce racism. And to the extent that it does reinforce racism, sometimes we need to rethink how we use these biblical images. We have a new hymnal coming out. This is really fun. It's like an extra hymnal. Like, you know how there was the green Lutheran Book of Worship, if you were in the Lutheran Church at that time, and then they came out years later with the blue With One Voice book that we're going to be singing from our last hymn today. So that blue one was like a smaller one that was sort of a supplement, right? So this one that we've got going is, we've got our cranberry, our red hymnal, Evangelical Lutheran Worship. We have another smaller supplemental one coming out now. It's going to be purple. It's called, I forget, it's just one sitting over here somewhere. But anyway, the point is, there's songs in there that address this dark light thing. There's a song in there called Joyful is the Dark. And it's about how darkness is not bad, is not the enemy. It's meant to reframe this argument and speak directly to the sort of unfortunate racist connotations that darkness and light have taken in our society, because that's something that we need to learn about and talk about now. So anyway, new hymnal coming out. You'll hear some new hymns. It's going to be some fun times. Now, I want to go back to our lesson from last week's 1 Thessalonians, which this week continues directly from it. So Paul was writing, again, people were concerned that as people died before Jesus had returned, that they would not be welcomed into heaven, that they would not be part of Jesus' promise to us to be one with God in eternity. And so I want to read a little bit from last week's and then talk about that just briefly. Paul wrote, "For the Lord himself, with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." So last week's lesson ended the same as this week's did, about encouraging one another. That's the point. That's the goal of this letter, is to encourage and support and build up one another. Anyway, when Paul wrote this stuff, there are some people who have misinterpreted this writing, especially this part about we who are left will be caught up in the clouds together to meet the Lord in the air. And some people have taken that and turned it into this rapture stuff. Y'all have heard about this, the rapture, which I know you've heard me say it before, is not a biblical thing. It's a misinterpretation that was created in the 19th century in America, actually, and in England a little bit, to sell books and to scare people into giving money to preachers who were trying to scare them. It's basically early televangelist stuff. It's garbage, and it's not in the Bible. In fact, the imagery here that Paul used in our lesson last week is like, remember when Jesus went into Jerusalem and the people lined the road and they threw their coats down on the road and he was on the donkey and they were waving palm branches and shouting Hosanna as if Jesus was the king returning to the royal city. That was what was happening when Jesus came into Jerusalem, and that's the imagery that is being used in this part right here from Paul. It's a royal procession into the city, welcoming the king back, not going up into the air and disappearing or whatever nonsense. That's not what was happening at all. We will be with the Lord forever in his kingdom, which is here on earth. Look at the end of the book of Revelation for more on that. And probably I'll talk about it because, you know, I love to. So anyway, I never want to miss an opportunity to tell you the rapture is fake and that this world is the place where God has promised to do this work in the future. So, like I said, don't want to miss that. Back into our lesson for this week. And again, about that stuff last week, you know, Paul was writing that to make people feel better, to be comforted about those who had died. That was the idea. It wasn't really even about those who were left alive. We already knew what was going to happen to them, which is what we're going to get into now. Because back into our lesson for this week. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. And that's again Paul addressing this exact same question. Whether we are still alive or whether we have died, Christ has promised us this salvation, has destined for us this salvation in Jesus, who died and rose again, so that we, even if we die, even when we die, might rise again with him to eternal life. That's the promise that Paul is reassuring us of right here in this lesson today. The good news is that even if we don't know the time, and we don't know the time, the church for 2,000 years has been saying that Jesus promised to come back and wondering when that will happen and what that will look like. Even if we don't know the time, we do know the result. The result is salvation. The result is oneness with God. The result is the heavenly city here on earth and the, you know, the tree of life and fruits for the healing of the nations, or the leaves for the healing of the nations. That's in Revelation again. We know that death is not the end of our story in Jesus Christ. That suffering and pain and sin are not the end of our story in Jesus Christ, but that God has something better for us even after all of those things happened. God is not finished with us yet. And anybody who can hear those words, they're true for you. God is not finished with you yet. Even if you die, God is not finished with you yet. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing, Paul writes. Therefore, hearing this good news, knowing this good news, trusting in these promises, we can encourage one another and build up one another, as indeed we are doing. As the weather turns cold, and it's gross outside today, it's like not that cold, but it's windy, it's awful. I'm reminded of the beginning of this pandemic when we at Hope Church here created some kind of calling list so church folks could call each other on the phone and check in and see how we were doing. We did that even before we figured out how Zoom worked, as I recall. And my sense is that that's kind of fallen away. I mean, I have not followed up on it in months. But I think that this is the time when we need to resurrect that, when we need to get that going again, make sure that we're checking on each other intentionally and systematically, that we're not missing anybody or leaving anybody behind. Because as the winter comes, it's going to be like the weather's going to be bad. We're not able to get outside for walks. This pandemic is worse. We're going to be locked down more than we've even been. Less opportunity to see family and friends. we're going to have to check in on each other. It's going to be bad, like mentally, emotionally, for people. It's going to be bad. I mean, even for me, I have the blessing of living with my family and even sharing my pod with Dennis and Michelle here. It's going to be rough. It's going to be rough on everybody. We need to recommit ourselves to checking in on each other, to caring for each other, to supporting each other, and hopefully checking in on our neighbors and our other friends too. I mean, I know we can't really go visit right now. We can't do much, but maybe we can drop something by if they need it, or do a phone call, or do a video chat, or whatever it is to check in, to care for one another. Because these are going to be the hardest months coming up. As we have holidays, we can't celebrate in the ways we want to. As we have family, we can't see in the way we've come to expect. And as the numbers on this pandemic are just getting worse and worse every single day. And the, you know, the case numbers come up, but the hospitalizations and the deaths come up weeks after that. Even if today everybody stopped and stayed home and locked down, we'd have weeks of those other numbers getting worse and worse ahead of us. And that's why we need to, care for one each other, care for one another, love one another by staying home, by wearing masks, by being as careful as possible, by looking at what the rules are and then doing better than the rules. Because the rules, if we follow the state rules or whatever, that's not going to keep us safe necessarily. The point of the rules is not, oh, you can do this and you'll be fine. The point of the rules is this is the most we can possibly get away with. And the reason people can still go to bars and things is because the state knows very well if they didn't let those places be open, all of those businesses would close. I won't get too far into the economics of all this, but I will continue to pray for a large federal stimulus package that will allow people to stay home and not lose their businesses and not lose their livelihoods. Because we got to get people through this and keep people alive. And as the church, we're not able to financially solve these problems, but we can solve the problems of, or at least address the problems of loneliness and of isolation by checking on each other, by caring for each other. So if at the beginning of the pandemic you were involved in the thing where calling people and checking in on people, give me a call tomorrow and remind me how that worked, because I think it worked. We'll have to, if we need to redo it, we will. But that's something that we need to do as the church in a systemic and intentional way in these coming months. So that's something I want to do. Finally, I'll say one last thing. In response to Paul's writing in Thessalonians here and to our other lessons and about this time that we live in, this between time, this uneasy time of waiting and wondering and just not being sure what's going to happen, I want to say this. I believe that our lives of faith, that our lives of following Jesus, have prepared us for this moment. We can trust in God. We can love one another. We can care for our neighbors in need. That's what we've been doing our whole lives as we follow Jesus. Now, it doesn't look like we expected it to in this time, but the truth is it never really did. We never quite knew exactly how it was going to look to love and care for our neighbor. This is going to be one of the hardest winters of your life. I don't care how old you are. This is going to be one of the hardest winters of your life for all of us. And that's why we need to figure out how to use this time to be proactive about loving one another and caring for each other. Each of us is going to need some support and some care at some point. And each of us knows people who are going to need that. So if we all reach out, don't just be like, oh, I'm caring for other people. Nobody's caring for me. That's not going to work for anybody. It's not going to work for me. It's not going to work for you. We all need to be here for each other in this time. Every one of us can support someone else. That's what it looks like to follow Jesus in this time. So whether it's through some formalized, structured church calling system, or whether it's just you on your own, get up in the morning and think of who can I check on today? Who can I care for? Who can I reach out to? And maybe even who do I need to hear from to care for myself? And do those things. Find a way. Make a plan. Don't just lay in bed all day like I want to do every day in this gross weather, in this scary pandemic, in this weird political time. There still are ways to follow Jesus, to be faithful, to show our faith to those around us. So let's do that. Amen. Right. And...